You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have concluded that Mr. Brooks was running away at the time that the shot was fired. Mr. Brooks was shot twice in the back. One of the shots was a center shot to the back that penetrated his heart, and it was done by a 9mm Glock.
June the 18th, 2020. Those remarks from Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard Jr. announcing charges against two officers involved in the shooting of Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta last Friday. 11 charges, including felony murder and multiple counts of assault with a deadly weapon for Officer Garrett Rolfe, who fired the shots. Felony murder, that is either going to be a capital offense and or a life sentence if convicted. The other officer, Officer Devin Brosnan, who was present at the time, three charges, including aggravated assault. Here's the key to this that you should keep in mind. Couple of keys. One, the prosecutor says, we don't need no stinking grand jury. We don't need to wait for the grand jury to be convened and issue charges. I can do it, and we're going to do it anyway. In other words, let's rush to judgment. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation is actually underway with an inquiry to make sure that there's no bias given either way, and they were shocked and surprised by the district attorney deciding to go ahead and announce charges when they haven't completed their investigation either. It's a political move, clearly, to make that announcement now. It may still come down to those charges. I don't think it'll ever go to trial on those charges. I think it'll be something shorter and probably settled in some fashion. We'll wait and see. But the investigation is not complete. The prosecutor says it is, but it's not. And here's another thing. Rayshard Brooks did grab a taser from one of the officers and turned and fired it at police. And Prosecutor Howard says in his remarks yesterday, the taser is not a deadly weapon. It can be. I'm going to add it can be if a person is maybe has some health issues and or is hopped up on some drugs. It can certainly lead to death, concluding, or rather adding to it, attributing. But let's accept his statement. A taser is not a deadly weapon. So when Rayshard Brooks turned to fire it at the officer, assuming both Brooks realized it was a taser, not a real gun, and the officer responding at that moment certainly should have recognized it's a taser as the darts were fired at him. But the decision of the officer to fire at that point, according to the prosecutor, bad decision because the taser is not a deadly weapon. And yet earlier this month, maybe 2 weeks ago, the same prosecutor said a taser is a deadly weapon when police were using it against two college students. Can you have it both ways? Yeah, if you're going to be a hypocrite, you can. And if you're trying to make political points. And by the way, there's stories going around. I'll get into that in more detail later. That the Georgia Bureau of Investigation also has an inquiry going into the Paul Howard prosecutor because of some money misappropriations and so forth. We'll get into that later. Whether or not it plays a role, we'll get into it in the second hour. Seattle, the chaos continues. What's going to be done and when and at what price? And Illinois Senator Dick Durbin refers to Senator Tim Scott, the black Republican from South Carolina, as a token. Oh, it's an indirect reference, but it's clear. And, of course, when Democrats use slurs against black Americans, oh, they can quickly apologize. And they pay no price. Just let it go. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Just let it lie. Don't do anything else with it. Accept it. If a conservative makes any kind of slanderous, slur, or racist remark, pin them to the wall forever and ever. Trump's Tulsa rally, of course, would have been held tomorrow. He's moved it to Saturday to avoid the Juneteenth issue. And there's a report of an ad going around trying to encourage anyone with COVID-19 try to get into that Tulsa rally or mix with the Trump supporters outside. Do whatever you can to spread COVID among that group. And more reaction today on Aunt Jemima being pulled because it's being considered racist. And it also now is falling over Mrs. Butterworth. I raised that question yesterday. Now it apparently it's moving forward. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, it's starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Will it be the tune out?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Because the governor of the state of Washington is weak and the mayor is weak. And what they're doing is setting a precedent that's never been set before in this country. And these people that are taking over this incredible piece of real estate are obviously very good at real estate. Maybe better than I was because they paid nothing. They just took it over. And the police are somehow told not to be there. I'm sure they'd do a good job if they were told to do a good job. I assume they're properly trained. But we would go in there if they want us in, and we will take it back very quickly. It should never be allowed to fester like it's festering right now. It's disgraceful to our country. It's a disgrace.
President Trump addressing the Seattle takeover. CHOP. As they want to call it, Capitol Hill Occupied Protest. Remember, it was originally CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. No cops allowed. And yet the police chief is still saying, oh, no, we will send cops in the case of a real emergency. A real emergency. Well, those already living inside, because there are several homes, residences inside this area, in addition to businesses. They're saying, we're not getting support we need. In fact, in one business owner, they called 911 the other day and said, a guy is trying to break into our store. We captured him. Will you come get him? Police didn't show. And then a crowd heard about that the store owners were holding a guy because he was trying to break into their shop. How dare he break into somebody's business? Come on. The business owners don't need to defend that stuff. It's property. Let him have it. Your insurance will cover it. He wants it. Let him have it. Your insurance will cover it. Let it happen. You really want to go down that road? You really want to take that attitude that, oh, well, just let it go. They called police after they got him. They didn't hurt him. They were holding him, detaining him. Police never showed up. But when the mob showed up, realizing the business owners were holding not just an intruder, a would-be thief, they started breaking down fences around the business and getting in closer. And so they let him go. They let him go. So don't you know he got off and they all had a smoke and laughed. Did you see what happened? And no cops, no cops. I'm looking at a piece now, dated out of Seattle, pointing out that, according to the lead part of this story from Fox News, business owners and residents in Seattle's so-called Capitol Hill Occupied Protest Zone, or CHOP, are growing increasingly concerned about safety inside the area. And again, the Seattle police chief is quoted, "There is no cop-free zone in the city." Well, did you send cops to the other day? Yeah, they said they did send cops. You know what the cops did? They said they stood back from a distance and watched. And once the guy was let go, well, the crowd dispersed. Okay, we weren't needed. One of the business owners, the one that I told you that was dealing with another one that saw a burglar break into his courtyard stealing a bike, he was calling 911, say, "They're coming in, they're beginning to steal stuff right now." The dispatcher told him, quote, "Nothing we can do. Unless someone's life is in danger, nothing we can do." And that homeowner says, "We're just sitting ducks all day. Now every criminal in the city knows they can come into this area, can do anything they want, as long as it isn't life-threatening and police won't come in and do anything." By the way, he says, "I saw the same guy a few days later, made eye contact, called 911 again, and again, no, we're not going to get involved." This is what we've come to in this nation, in these areas where we're going to allow these anarchists to take over, and we're just going to step aside. I'll remind you again, the police chief originally, when they left that precinct headquarters and opened up the ability for the anarchists to start controlling a six-block area, the chief said, I did not order us to leave the area. In fact, I praised my officers for standing there taking slurs thrown at them, actual objects thrown at them, spit, urine, bottles, and so forth, and standing there to protect the precinct, and now we're told to just leave? And she said, "That was not my decision." Well, the mayor insists, "I didn't decide that either. Who the hell decided to give it all up?" And, of course, the mayor continues to say, "Listen, this is just a peaceful little gathering." And I told you the other day, a CNN or MSNBC crew was on the scene, and the reporter said, "This is kind of like a street festival." And immediately, some of the protesters got in his face, "Do not call this a street festival. It's a bigger thing than that. Don't just talk about painting on the sidewalk and poetry readings and music and kumbaya. We're here for a real purpose." What's the real purpose? Well, he didn't dare ask. I'll tell you what the real purpose is: to take control. But again, the police chief says, clearly, if there's something that's a life safety situation, somebody injured, shots fired, that kind of thing, we don't have any choice. We're going in. He said, if you're asking about the current situation, she said, if you're asking about the current situation, it's not one I like. On June the 7th, a man apparently drove into a crowd of those protesters and shot someone a block away from the area. And we've had arson attacks on 5 unmarked police vehicles just a few blocks away. And, of course, the city sent in crews to start building and putting up concrete barriers to distinguish the occupied zone from the rest of the city. These leftists who say we don't need any borders on our country and our nation, they have a border wall now, and they have their borders clearly marked, and they are asking for others to bring guns inside to the area. What do you think their intent is? You think that at some point they're just going to say, okay, we've had our fun, let's all go home? Do you really think that's going to happen? You got businesses inside terrified, already closing up, moving out. They can't get their employees to come in. They can't get any customers. Those around them, would-be customers, they don't have any money. They're asking for handouts. Or just abandon your store. We'll take what we can get. There was a Fox Seattle affiliate crew that was also attacked. They were doing their job of just reporting it, and the reporter said, our crew was targeted, stalked, harassed, assaulted. She said, I've never seen anything like this before. It began with two protesters approaching the female reporter before she could even start. They immediately called her a Republican network and promised to interrupt as much as possible. And then the crowd grew and the verbal pressure increased. Protesters began shouting obscenities. As the crew pushed forward, the crew continued to follow them. As the Fox crew pushed forward, the crowd continued to follow them. Some protesters spitting at them, giving them the middle finger. At one point, the female reporter appears to be hit. Did they send in police? No police. What we have right now is a lot of folks saying, we don't want police. We really just don't want police. Don't want police. Defund them. Cut their budgets. You know, in Portland, there was a decision by the mayor, said Mayor Ted Wheeler, agreeing that, we're going to go ahead and abide by their decision. These protesters chanting Black Lives Matter, hands up, don't shoot, here in Portland, not Seattle, in Portland. They said, we will go ahead and cut money from the police department budget. Maybe that'll make them happy. 3-1 vote. $254 million overall budget for the police department. And they cut $16 million. That ain't enough, and it's not going to satisfy them, and sure enough, it didn't. Dozens of people began protesting, say, we want more cuts, more cuts. They wanted at least $50 million. So far, that hasn't been taking place, but they're protesting and saying, cut more. The Washington State Mayor... A mayor in Washington State of Olympia, same state, of course, as Seattle. Olympia, they were kind of watching what was happening in Seattle and thinking, well, boy, it's not happening here. That's good. Well, it changed because then groups began to go through downtown Olympia, tagging, vandalizing businesses, working their way to the home of the Olympia mayor. Now, she was fine. She was fine with the Black Lives Matter protest until it came to her front door. Isn't that just like a leftist? You're going to do it over there, but not here. And there was another story I'll bring to your attention on that in a moment. But the mayor of Olympia now says these are domestic terrorists. You think? Now, she and her family were not home at the time, not in any real danger, but neighbors called and said, hey, they're attacking your home, they're spray painting graffiti and everything else. And now suddenly, now it's in her backyard. Well, now, these are terrorists. I had a story the other day, if you recall, and out of California, there was a... I want to say an ESPN commentator. I could be wrong, so don't hold me to that. Sometimes when I start going back over some of this, some of it gets mixed up. But let me tell you very clearly what the story was. There was somebody that was all in favor of the protest marchers and what they were doing until they started coming down his street and through his gated community, and all of a sudden, take your effing protest somewhere else, not here. In other words, don't do it in my yard, not here. No. That's not right. You got to go where the other people are. I wish every liberal who wants to endorse these or will not condone I'm talking about the arsonists, the riots and so forth, vandalizing. I wish they would go right into those areas and make it clear that you shouldn't be doing that. But, of course, they don't do it until it affects them. Herschel Walker, former NFL running back, Herschel Walker. 12 years in the NFL. You know what he says about those who want to defund police? He knows what would happen to the communities, particularly minority communities. Herschel Walker stated, "I have an idea. For all these people who don't want any police, I'd love to meet with American Airlines, Delta, and Southwest, and make a deal to fly them to countries they don't have police. I want them to be happy." Walker said, "I'll volunteer to serve as a black leader to help bring members of Congress together with leaders of ethnic groups, both left and right, to find solutions." He said, "We're civilized people. Why can't true congressmen, women, senators get together with leaders from all ethnic groups, left and right, and find solutions?" He said, "I'll volunteer to be one of the black leaders." But Walker also said, "Everyone that wants to defund police, you know the bottom line is defund and eventually abolish police." He said, "Why don't we send them to countries that don't have police? I will volunteer to help pay for some of those flights." And his son also had a remark about this. I'll share that when we continue.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Herschel Walker's son had also made a remark about these protests that suddenly become riots, arson, looting, criminal. And here's what he put on his tweet. He said, "My dad grew up in the Deep South as a poor black man, turned himself into a notable athlete, businessman, and person. No, I don't feel bad for, quote, oppressed people who run around burning buildings down. I'm not sorry. I'm grateful for my country, the opportunities he's given me." See, there are those on both sides of the color barrier, gender barrier, political barrier, that can think for themselves and not going to simply buy what's being shoved in their face. Rob Smith is with Turning Point USA. He's a black man. And he was acknowledging some of the hypocrisy, which I'll explain to you in a moment. But Black Lives Matter, are they trying to unite or divide America? By some of their actions, if they're trying to unite and find support, they're destroying what support they get. And in fact, as they continue to push for defunding or getting rid of police, a New York Post columnist, Carol Markowitz, said on Tucker Carlson last night, "All of this is going to lead to an increase in crime. We're already seeing an increase in crimes, and it's happening primarily in black neighborhoods, with everyone, including Black Lives Matter, saying defund police or abolish police."
I think we've let the leftist activists and politicians divide us into the camps of either you're pro-police or you believe Black Lives Matter. But the truth is, if you are pro-police, it's because you believe Black Lives Matter. And if you look at the recent crime spike, it's happening primarily in black neighborhoods. And that's why these white activists are pushing this defund police idea, because it's not happening in their neighborhoods. If it was, they'd want triple the police on their streets. These crime numbers, they're not going to go ignored. And again, it's when they're happening in white neighborhoods, you're going to see these liberal white people decide that they do like the police after all.
You know she's right. In fact, in some of these elite areas, white, whatever, gated, they're not going to let anybody in like that. They're going to have additional police or hire their own security guards if they have to. So who's really going to be at risk? That would be those of the minority communities. As I was saying a moment ago, Rob Smith, who is with Turning Point USA, a black man, says what we're seeing right now is the leftist hypocrisy.
Democrats on the left of all colors really need to have about how they treat African-American Republicans. What the left likes to do is they like to blame internet trolls that are right-leaning, and they like to blame them every bit of the conversation that goes on the right. Well, I would like to flip this back on them, and I would like to say to every Joe Biden supporter, every Kamala Harris supporter, every Pete Buttigieg supporter that has called me a token, that has called me an Uncle Tom on the internet, they need to have a real hard talk about that language. Because the Democrats and the left like to call themselves the party of tolerance, the party of inclusivity, but that tolerance and inclusivity does not extend to African-Americans that do not toe the Democratic Party line.
Period. You don't toe the line, we'll call you names. You're a token. Let's look at what Senator Durbin said. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I said, we need to seize this historic moment. We shouldn't do something that's token, half-hearted. We have a chance to make significant change. Let's do it. He took the word token as an offensive word. I went up to him on the floor and I said, Tim, I respect you and like you so much. If it offended you, I apologize.
Illinois Senator Durbin saying, I apologize to Senator Tim Scott. Senator Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina, a black man. And he was the one who champion and led forward with the justice reform bill introduced yesterday in the Senate. And then Durbin went to the floor of the Senate and said, we cannot take a token approach. Now, he did not call Tim Scott direct a token, but he did it indirectly. You can read between the lines. The left does it all the time, so why can't we? That's and Tim Scott took it that way. Before Durbin did that apology you heard he did last night, his office immediately, when they began to get blowback for that remark, token approach, here's what his office communications director said in a statement. The minute Senator Durbin heard that he had offended Senator Scott, he sought him out on the floor and apologized. What Senator Durbin took issue with in his floor speech was not Senator Scott's bill, but what the Senate Majority Leader would short-circuit this critical debate and fail to make the changes needed to prevent the killing of black Americans by police officers. Senator Tim Scott is a black American. He has been stopped at least 7 times driving while black. You think he's not aware of killing black Americans by police officers when it does happen? You don't think he's trying to come up with a bill that would protect black Americans and stop such excessive force, if it's excessive at that point? And at the same time, looking to protect police officers? But Durbin threw in that remark, a token approach. I want you to hear how he said it on the floor directly, and then Senator Tim Scott's response.
We cannot waste this historic moment. Let's not do something that is a token, half-hearted approach.
And to have the senator from Illinois refer to this process, this bill, this opportunity to restore hope and confidence and trust from the American people, from African Americans, from communities of color, to call this a token process hurts my soul.
Hurts my soul. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's extremely powerful. Let's make sure we understand the use of the word token. The definition is, you can go to different sources. I'll give you one that's here. I'm not going to use the Urban Dictionary. I could use something from the Harvard Crimson. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and do Wikipedia because a lot of folks look at that. Tokenism is a practice of making only a perfunctory or symbolic effort to be inclusive to members of minority groups, especially by recruiting a small number of people from unrepresented groups in order to give the appearance of racial or sexual equality within, in this case, a workforce or whatever you're doing. So because a few blacks are featured and seen at Trump rallies, they're tokens. NBC the other day, NBC, Craig Melvin, news anchor, directly asked Senator Tim Scott, is the GOP using you as a token around the response of George Floyd's death? You faced a fair amount of criticism because you're the only black Republican senator. Some have said your party is using you. They've even thrown the word token as well. Your response to that criticism. I have no problem with Craig Melvin asking the question. In fact, I'm glad he did. Scott laughed a little bit, and they said, well, I'm the only person in my conference who's been racially profiled driving while black. I'm the only one in my conference who's been stopped 7 times in 1 year as an elected official. Perhaps the only one in my conference wearing the Senate pin that was stopped from coming into the building. So if there's someone in the conference who understands discrimination, profiling, it's me. He said, it's the reason why I asked to lead this charge. It's a personal issue, the right issue. He said, so I try to shrug those comments and criticisms off. But you got to know, when you're a black Republican, you're like a unicorn. People are going to criticize you when you wake up, when you go to sleep. If you say you like apple pie and football, there are a lot of critics for that too. God bless their souls. Being called a token. In fact, Scott also wrote additional comments on, not surprising, the last 24 hours have seen a lot of token. Boy, or you're being used in my mentions. Let me get this straight. You don't want the person who has faced racial profiling by police, been pulled over dozens of times, or speaking out for years, drafting this justice bill to make things better? As you heard earlier in the previous segment, a quote from Rob Smith with Turning Point USA, talking about the leftist hypocrisy. Rob Smith is a decorated Iraq war veteran, 5 years in the U.S. Army, 2 tours in the Middle East. During the Operation Iraqi Freedom, awarded the Army Commendation Medal and the Combat Infantry Badge. But he's a black man. And because he's a Republican, and with Turning Point USA, a youth organization to reach conservatives on college campuses, he gets dissed all the time. And this issue involving Senator Durbin, who did apologize, let's point out again, he apologized. The left will always do that if they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar or the racial jar, pulling the card the wrong time. They will quickly back up and apologize. They're not going to be held accountable by the leftist media. But they will, if forced enough, I'll step back. And you heard Senator Durbin say, I went immediately to the floor when if I used that term and offended you. Durbin, you knew damn well what you were doing when you used a term. You knew it. And Rob Turner, talking about how this went down, and in particular reference Senator Durbin's remarks. Well, listen to his response.
Let me tell you this. The left likes to talk a lot about dog whistles all the time. They talk about Republican dog whistles. The word token in response to a black Republican, in response to legislation that is created by the lone black Republican senator, is not only it is a bullhorn. Let me tell you something. And any black conservative, any black Republican that has a large online social media platform like myself, any black person that has dared to vote outside of the Democratic binary, any black person who has dared to not be a liberal has heard the word token slung at them. It is a slur. We are called tokens. We are called Uncle Toms. We are called so many other things that are not appropriate for television.
And I think Rob Smith nailed it. Oh, well, what did he think about that apology from Senator Durbin and then Senator Scott's response?
I was shocked when I heard that word come out of a sitting Democrat senator's mouth. It was disgusting. And let me tell you something else. Senator Scott, a man who I've had the pleasure to work with, was much more classy in his response than I would have been.
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard what Rob Smith really would have responded with. But Rob Smith also pointed out again the use of that term, token, it's a perfect weapon, along with Uncle Tom, boy, things of that nature, to refer to any blacks that stand with Trump.
The word token, Uncle Tom, whatever you want to call it, those are words that are used to keep African-American voters in line that may be more independent-leaning, that may be more conservative-leaning, that may be leaning towards supporting the president. And I think that they, on the left, need to have a real conversation about that type of language, because when that language is making it into a speech by a sitting Democrat senator, there is a major problem that needs to be addressed.
Do I hear the left calling out the same thing? Do I hear them saying, Let's look at this, and did anyone on the left condemn Senator Durbin for that remark? I'm listening. I don't hear anything. Do you hear anything? I don't hear anything. No, I don't even hear crickets. They're all dead. They're not going to do a thing. They just walk away. Walk away. Throw it out there like dropping a grenade in a room and walk out and close the door behind you. And the Black Lives Matter issue, of course, as I had said from the very beginning, it had value in the beginning and what it could have been. I didn't like saying just Black Lives Matter. I think all lives matter. But if you don't toe the line for some of them, then you're considered an opponent. For instance, a Vermont school principal wrote a post on her personal Facebook saying, I believe Black Lives Matter, but I do not agree with coercive measures taken to get this point across, some of which are falsified in an attempt to prove a point. She said people should not be made to feel they have to choose black race over human race. Just because I don't walk around with a BLM sign should not mean I'm a racist. You know what happened to that Vermont school principal? Fired! Get out of here! Oh, let's deal with this also. Arthur Ashe, I'm sure you know Arthur Ashe, renowned black tennis player, legend, a legend. There's a monument to him in Richmond, Virginia. Someone vandalized it with the words, White Lives Matter. I call them wrong, too. White Lives Matter is wrong. All lives matter. More on Aunt Jemima in a moment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
But they never wanna leave. Aces and
this
is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I was rushing a little bit near the end of that last segment when I was talking about Arthur Ashe. I want to go back to that a moment. Arthur Ashe, a tennis legend, period. And yes, a black man, so he's certainly an African-American tennis legend. They put up a statue in his honor at Richmond, Virginia's Monument Avenue. 1996, dedicated to memorialize him. And they said they also did it to counterbalance the string of statues on Memorial Avenue dedicated to Confederate leaders. That's Richmond, Virginia. Well, they've been tearing down the Confederate leaders' monuments, and then somebody decided, well, let's go after Arthur Ashe, and painting on his monument, White Lives Matter. And they're doing it because they see Black Lives Matter tagged everywhere. They do it, we'll do it. Well, you shouldn't do it. Neither one of you are right. Can't you have the statues of both and honor and respect and learn the history of both? Police say they think they've got a line on who sprayed the White Lives Matter. I hope they do. I hope they find them. I wish they'd find all those who destroyed other or tagged other buildings with Black Lives Matter. I mentioned yesterday as a story broke about Aunt Jemima. They were going to change the name. Quaker says, yes, it's based on a racial stereotype. 130 years ago, it started with a black woman. They took from a minstrel character, a beginning with her wearing a mammy kerchief. And then they took that off and began to give a newer, fresher-looking, younger-looking black woman as a symbol. But they decided to drop it entirely because of the current times. It's their company. They can do what they want. I raised the question yesterday. First thing I said, you'd go with Mrs. Butterworth or you'd go with Aunt Jemima? And is Mrs. Butterworth a racist situation? The syrup's in the bottle. It's a bottle shaped like a matronly woman. Could it be a black woman? We don't know. With the dark color inside of the syrup, it certainly could be considered that. But when the bottle's empty, it's clear that no color. But either way, now Mrs. Butterworth's brand is being considered by ConAgra Foods that maybe they need to do the same thing. And I did not get a chance yesterday to get into the story about cream of wheat. You ever looked at the cream of wheat box? It has a black man on it, a chef, ringing a breakfast bell and with a serving of cream of wheat on a platter that he's bringing to someone, possibly. Cream of wheat, good morning. Now, does that suggest he's a slave bringing it to someone? You read into it what you want, I guess. The original boxes were handmade and lettered, emblazoned with the image of an African-American chef produced by Emory Mapes. The character was Rastus, as they described it. All in all, boxes and advertisements continues to be used now, but for a long time, they thought a chef named Frank L. White was a model. That was a claim Frank L. White made, and his headstone contains his name and an etching from the cream of wheat. But the bottom line is, they're also deciding, okay, maybe we need to take him off the box of cream of wheat. And Uncle Ben's, surely you tried Uncle Ben's whole grain rice? Now they're looking at the same thing at Quaker Foods, announcing they're dropping the Aunt Jemima brand in a progress toward racial equality. Mars Incorporated, which owns Uncle Ben's, now saying it's looking to update the rice brand's image. Saying as a global brand, we know we have a responsibility to take a stand in helping to end racial bias. It's called Uncle Ben's. It shows a black man. There's nothing there that suggests slavery. Nothing. You want to read into it? Go ahead. You want to read into cream of wheat slavery? So be it. Mrs. Butterworth, so be it. Aunt Jemima actually has a tracing back to those days. But these are all companies that can make their own decision. You want to sanitize everything? I mean, because you call it Uncle Ben's, is that meant to be derogatory? I never took it that way. Now, if you're a black person, do you take it that it's derogatory to say Uncle Ben? I can't speak for the black culture, and I wouldn't even attempt to. And if it's your perception, it's your perception. You're entitled to your perception regardless. Just the other, not too long ago, I like Jack Daniels. Someone turned me on to something called Uncle Nearest. Uncle Nearest supposedly, according to the story, was a freed black man from Virginia that made his way to Tennessee. How and why he went to Tennessee, I don't know. But he encountered Jack Daniels and showed Jack how to make Jack whiskey. And it was his effort that turned Jack Daniels into such a great thing. And then at some point, Uncle Nearest went away. That, I don't know if they called him Uncle Nearest because of geographic location or Uncle Nearest because he was near and dear to many. He was a black man. Well, eventually, he and Jack split. He did his own brand, and then it disappeared. Now it's been reintroduced by a black woman entrepreneur bringing it back, and I'm glad she did. It's very good, very potent. Uncle Nearest. And I bought it, and I bought a bottle and gave it to a good friend of mine who's black. He loved it. I hope they don't stop Uncle Nearest. You want to call it something else? I don't care, but keep the whiskey. I'll take the whiskey. Hey, we'll take a break when we come back. Atlanta. The charges in Atlanta, no grand jury, because they say they don't need no stinking grand jury. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.